You can be seated except for Brother Barnes. Come on up here.
Praise the Lord.
I want to hear, I heard just this little tiny piece of somebody. I tell you what, I think we're about to hear about a miracle from God. Amen. Tell us about that.
Brother Joel is from Tennessee, and we lived in Tennessee. And he belonged to the FAC Maryville, which is a Brother Carpenter is the pastor there. And every time I go home and I go to that church, it's amazing. It's just what you get out of that church is amazing. Well, Brother Joel got up. He was actually, when he was a young kid, he was adopted by a family who was very apostolic. And he was raised in the apostolic ways. He just turned 29 years old, and he got years ago, he's had this calling to minister. So he is the reason why that I'm here at this church. I mean, well, Warren and his kids were at a field playing with his kids, and one of the children had to use the bathroom, the restroom, and he left trying to find a place. Well, there was a library close by, so he stopped in there just to, you know, give his child a release. And he ran into Brother Joe Orr. And Brother Joe Orr was given a Bible lesson there, free to the public, to anyone that would come. And while his son was using the restroom, Orr came to Warren and said, "Would you like to attend the lesson?" And Warren said, "Yeah, of course. He would love to." So he went to that meeting there with Brother Orr, and he began, you know, Brother Orr didn't have a church. He didn't have a church. He was out there, and he would, they rented, different churches in the neighborhood. They would rent time to give a lesson, whatever time they could get, and they went from building to building, much like what happened here with this church. He finally, he would go, and he would stay a while, and then he would get kicked out for, you know, people were, I don't know, some people told him that he thought it was a cult that he was ahead of, and merely that's not true. But anyway, finally he went to this church, which is in the city of Madisonville, in the old part of the city, and he started going there using this church. This church has been used by other religions, other denominations before. So he started using this church, and the members came in, and they did some cleaning, and they did some repairs. And the owner of the land came to him and said, "Look, I'm giving you this church.
Wow.
I'm giving you this church."
Wow.
Praise the Lord.
So, you know, and when Warren and I came here to go to work, he got a hold of Brother, you know, got hold of this church.
Yep.
And he was like, "Where can they go, Darren? You know, would they like to go continue in the faith?" And that's where we came here to this church. And, man, I can't even stand up here and tell you how much I appreciate this church.
Yeah.
Not only, you know, the place we have here, the pastor, but the people that go to this church. You know, I feel nothing but love when I'm here. I just want to share that story because Brother Orr, he's a young man. He is so inspired. And when he preaches, you know, it is. He's amazing. He's amazing. And I love to go home and listen to him preach. My wife has now been, you know, she was baptized in the FAC Maryville Church. She loves going to church. She looks forward to every Tuesday, Thursday, whatever night they meet, she's there. And it's so great to me. And the family, Sarah and Warren, you know, it's just it's an amazing. Surely a miracle. God is there. God is there. Never give up on God. He's there.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. If you've been a part of our church for any length of time at all, you know that God has done miracles in our church. Amen. Both in the individuals and as us as a body. Us even being in this building is a miracle from God. Amen.
This man, God has placed him. He has very
Praise the Lord. I tell you what God has done for us, He wants to do in other places.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Later on in this year, 2024, I'm going to ask that our church be a part of other evangelistic outreaches that are beyond our doors, that they're not even in our local neighborhood. Amen. I believe our church will be able to help a home missions church, a newly starting work. Actually, two small churches in Connecticut that are looking to grow their facility, grow their family, grow the church body, and I believe God is going to help them receive the blessing of a building. Amen. I believe that. Amen. Brother Earl Brown in Hartford, Connecticut, later this year, and then also Brother John or Brother Pulaski, Brother Pulaski in Middletown, Connecticut. I believe I'm going to ask our church to go there and help them. I believe they're going to use our tent that this church owns. We're going to have a park service there, and we're going to have need for people to pass out flyers and be a part of that event and be worshipers when the preacher is preaching. We need some believers to be in that crowd to say amen. Amen. And to pray and believe that God is going to do wonderful things. Amen. And He will do miracles. Amen. I believe it. Amen. He's a miracle-working God. Amen. God is still the same God yesterday, today, and He's going to be the same God tomorrow. Amen. All right, stand with me. I'd like to turn your attention to Scripture. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 26. I'm going to read verse number 3 there, and then also I'm going to Psalm 57, verse 7. Two short verses of Scripture to begin today. Isaiah chapter 26, verse number 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Amen. And also Psalm 57, verse number 7. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Amen. I'd like to speak for a little while on this subject, a made-up mind. Amen. A made-up mind. Would you love Him with me? Lord, I love You. I thank You. Lord, I pray that You would help us, Lord, to have a made-up mind. Lord, that we would be fixed upon You. Lord, that our heart would be fixed upon You, Lord Jesus. And Lord, that we will sing and give praise and worship, Lord, Your name. Let You, Lord Jesus, be exalted today. I pray that in this house, Lord, that You would open our minds, open our understanding. Lord, put words in my mouth and help me, Lord, to say of You, of the precious name of Jesus. Amen, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Comma right here. The teacher training seminar is going to be on Saturday. And if you have any inkling or think that maybe God would use you in the way of ministering to children, amen, I hope that you will make time to go to that seminar next Saturday. There's a information flyer right here. You can come look at it after church. That's on Saturday. But on Friday night, it's a children's ministry rally. Now, our rallies in the Connecticut district are not just for those that are taking, it's not just for Sunday school teachers. Amen. In fact, when we have rallies in our fellowship, it's a time for us, the United Pentecostal Church, to join ourselves together and to agree together as a body of Christ in Connecticut. Amen. Anybody else want to see other churches prosper in their Sunday school? Amen. Anybody else want to see other churches grow and be blessed by God? Amen. Well, then come and fellowship with those of like precious faith. Amen. I want to encourage our people to make time that when our district has events, that we as a body, as a church, go and participate in that event as part of the body of Christ. Amen. Friday night is a rally. I hope you'll come. More information right there. A made up mind. The first portion of Scripture from Isaiah said, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." When we trust in the Lord, God will give you peace in your mind. You know, the world wants to mess your mind up. The world wants to twist your mind around. It wants to make you think like the world thinks. And I'll tell you what, our world has got a messed up mind. Amen. I don't want to think like the world. Amen. I want to think like Jesus. Amen. Psalm said, "My heart is fixed." You know, we got to decide. We, you as an individual and me as an individual, we got to decide that I got to set, I got to fix, I got to make up my mind to serve the Lord. Amen. Nobody can make you sin. If you go into sin, it's because you chose to go that way. Amen. But my heart, dear Lord, Jesus, is fixed on thee. We have to have a made up mind. Amen. You know, in the natural, in the nature of flesh, having a made up mind is powerful in the spirit, but it's also powerful in the flesh. Amen. When you have a made up mind, when you just determine that you will persevere, you will not give in to the trouble. You know, and sometimes our lives get in trouble beyond our own control. I know I've told this story many times, but some years ago, it was a nice, warm April day, and I went out on the canoe with my son and his friend, and it was so beautiful and nice, and man, it was like 40-something degrees, and you know, 48 or 50 degrees seems pretty warm when it was 16 degrees in my truck coming here today. 45 or 50 degrees seems really warm. That day seemed really warm. Come on, fellas, let's go out at the lake. We had a really good idea, brought some fishing poles, went out in the canoe, we're paddling around, and I look on the horizon, man, rolling, dark, angry-looking, terrible clouds rolling in across the sky. Went from blue to black in just a line, and it was rolling towards us. And I thought, fellas, we need to get to the truck right now. We need to go immediately. You know, you could see trouble on the horizon, and you knew, man, we got to get out of here. So we're paddling just as hard as we can. If we go around the lake, it's going to be much further. Of course, we'll take a shortcut, go through the middle of the lake. Sometimes we make the most stupid decisions ever. It was a very bad mistake to go out, paddle out into the middle of the lake when a storm was coming. But in your mind, you think, well, that's the quickest way. We got to hurry up. Well, we got caught out there. We were trying to keep the canoe pointed into the waves. White, you know, 3-foot waves are breaking over the top of the canoe and crashing into the canoe as we're trying to paddle over the waves. And the wind was blowing. We weren't actually making any progress toward the truck. We were being blown backwards. And our effort was solely, entirely trying to keep the front of the boat into the wave. Because if we get hit sideways by that wave, which that's what happened, the wind was stronger than we were, it blew the boat sideways and the waves just rolled us over. And now we are in the water. You ever heard that, you know, stay with the boat? You know, the boat's going to float? Well, in this case, that was a lie. Because that canoe sank. So we had life preservers. Fellas had, my son and his friend had zip up, you know, kind of ski jacket life preservers, and they were both good swimmers, and I know how to swim, and so we're swimming towards shore, and those waves were breaking over our head, and, you know, the water was cold. Did I mention that water was really cold? It was mostly clear, but along the shore in the shady spots, there's still ice on the lake. You know, in 20 minutes in that cold water, you're supposed to go unconscious. I found out later. We saw somebody walking their dog, and we yelled, "Help, help, help!" You know, and we saw the guy turn around and run. Oh, he's going to go get help. Help is on the way. Swim for shore, fellas. Don't look back. You can't help me, and I can't help you, but each of us can make it. Let's go. Let's swim. So we're encouraging each other. Let's swim to shore. And we are making good progress. And my son, I see, he's ahead of me. He's an Olympic swimmer, you know. Not really, but to me, he looked like an Olympic swimmer. He's got his head going down and breathing up sideways and like a fish. Man, he looked like a motorboat heading for shore. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus, for a good swimmer. Of course, me, I got this big orange life vest on. And as I'm trying to swim, those waves are hitting that big orange thing in the back of my head, and it pushes my head underwater like every few seconds. The waves are pushing me under. So I moved that life vest from around my neck to under my armpit, and I tied it around my body so that I could keep my head above water. I was really interested in breathing. But when I saw my son stand up on the shore, and I was still way out there, I was still struggling just to keep my head above water. And I was so cold that my skin was turning black. The palms of my hands, my lips, and my fingernails, they were all turning black because the lack of oxygen. And I knew that if I kept swimming, I'm going to get closer to shore. I have to persevere. I can't give up and just stay here because I'm going to die if I stop. I tell you what, everything that was within me was making that next stroke and keep my feet moving and keep my arms going. You had to persevere. The guy who ran called 911, came back down. He unlocked his canoe and he came out in a canoe and put the light fella that was my son's buddy. His name was Seth and my son's name was Seth. They're both, one's in the boat and one's on the shore. And I just feel a total, absolute relief. Those boys are okay. Everything is going to be all right. You know, and then he rowed that canoe over to me, and I'm totally exhausted. I can't pull myself up into the boat. And he's, both of them, Seth and the guy, are in a canoe, and the waves are still rolling. And you can't pull me into the boat. Use your rope and just tie it around my life vest and tow me to shore because I can't climb in. So he did. He threw me a line and we tied it on a life vest and I'm now tied to the back of the boat and I'm in the water and he's towing me to shore. I get to the shore. The policeman is there. The ambulance is there. And, you know, it's a mess. But I persevered and made it to the shore. Praise the Lord, here I am today. Praise the Lord. But there's times where things are really tough, but you can't give up. You have to persevere. You have to keep going. It's not acceptable to give up. You know, I couldn't even... The policeman is trying to ask me all these questions. What happened to you? How'd you get out there? What's your name? I couldn't even tell him my name. I couldn't speak. My body is, I'm just shivering, convulsing. And, you know, they brought me to the emergency room in the hospital. It was a bad experience. And to this day, I do not like cold water. Cold water is bad, in my view. Warm water is okay, but cold water, not so much. Yeah, you got to persevere. You know, in our spirit, there are times that it's going to seem like everything is against you, that all things are coming against you, that it's beyond your control. And, you know, it seems like it's almost inevitable that it's going to overtake me. You know, I spent 40 minutes in that water when, according to what I've read, you're supposed to go unconscious in 20 minutes. I tell you what, you got to just keep going.
Amen.
Amen. There's times in our lives that we have to persevere. Amen. In the spiritual, Isaiah 26, in verse number 3, perfect peace. I cannot tell you what it felt like when I saw those boys that were safe. You know, there was such a relief. You know, Lord, you know, you'd think you'd be panicked. You'd think you'd be, you know, flailing around and going under. You'd think that it was certain that you would die. But there was such perfect peace in my mind. The boys are safe. And Lord, if I live, then thank you, Jesus. But if I die, it's going to be okay. Amen. My mind, you would think you would be in stress, that you would be in panic. There was no panic. There was no stress. It was perfect peace because I knew that Jesus Christ had me in His hand. And however it came out, if I live or if I die, God is with me. Amen. It's perfect peace. Amen. Praise the Lord. Worshiping God and living for God is primarily an act of the will. You are going to choose to serve the Lord. Nobody, you know, somebody could make you come to church. Your parents might make you come to church, which I hope they do. Parents, bring your children to church. But He cannot make somebody worship. If you are going to worship God, it will be because you choose to worship God. Amen. It's a act of our will. Psalm 57, verse 7, we read that already. Even if you don't feel like worshiping, or you don't understand what God is doing, you can worship as an act of your will. And God will inhabit your praise. Amen. You will feel the presence of God when you give yourself in worship. Amen. Having a made-up mind is a big portion of the battle. Amen. You got to make up your mind to praise the Lord, to worship Him. Amen. It shouldn't matter if anybody else in the whole church is worshiping or not. If the music is good or not. If the song leader is worshiping or not. It's up to you to worship God. You've got to have a made up mind to worship the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. There's examples in Scripture. Let me go there. A positive example is of Moses, and let me use him. Exodus chapter 8, verse 25 to 27. It says this. And Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron and said, "Go ye, sacrifice to your God in the land. They had, if you're familiar with that story, Moses has been sent by God to deliver God's people from bondage in Egypt. They go to Pharaoh and they ask him to let the people go to sacrifice. They're not getting that far. They're having difficulty. There is opposition. There is they're coming against a worldly, carnal country. Verse 26, and Moses said, it is not meet so to do, for we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. Lo, shall we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes, and will they not stone us? We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God, as He shall command us. Pharaoh was saying, okay, go, but don't go very far. Go, but, well, you'll see. There is certainly modern day applications that we can gain, that we can learn from Moses. We cannot stay in sin and live for God. They could not, it would not have been acceptable for them to make the sacrifice while they were still in bondage. It was God's plan all along that He would deliver them, that He would set them free, that He would take them out of that place of sin. God wants us to come out of sin. God wants us to serve Him as He has chosen for us to do. Amen. We can't stay in sin and still serve God. In this example, he refused to compromise to stay close to Egypt. Verse 27, let me read that again and read on to verse 29. We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as He shall command us. You see, Pharaoh didn't understand. Well, why do you got to go 3 days away? You know what? The world may not understand why you worship the way you do. Why it's important to be in the house of God. Why I choose to serve the Lord the way that I choose to serve the Lord. The world does not understand the ways of God. And yet, we must serve the Lord. Amen. Verse 28, and Pharaoh said, I will let you go, that ye may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only ye shall not go very far away. You can go a little ways. Entreat for me. Get that. Pharaoh wanted Moses to pray for him. Have you ever had somebody that you invite to come to church? Oh, well, I can't go right now, but pray for me. Well, I've heard that more than a few times. Oh, I'm not able to go right now, but you go to church and pray for me. Oh, I've heard it many, many times. Pharaoh wanted Moses to pray for him. Verse 29, and Moses said, behold, I go out from thee, and I will entreat the Lord that the swarms of flies may depart from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people tomorrow. You know, I've always thought that was simply amazing. Oh, just let me live with the flies for one more day. Can I just have the flies one more day, please? Oh, the flies are in the oven. They're in the refrigerator. They're in my food. They're in the drink. They're in the water. They're in the bed. They're in the house. They're everywhere. Oh, can I just live with the flies for one more day, please? If If you're in sin, do you want to live in sin for just one more day? Is that what you want in your life? That you want to live with flies, with sin, with carnality and mess? Oh, just let me, I'll get right tomorrow. No. God, deliver me today. Someone say today. I want to be delivered today. If I'm sick in my body, you know what? I'd just as soon be healed today. Praise the Lord. Where am I at? But let not Pharaoh deal deceitfully anymore in not letting the people go to sacrifice to the Lord. Pharaoh, stop messing around. Let these people serve the Lord. You see, Moses was insisting on going at least 3 days' journey. It was the plan and the direction from God. We need to follow the plan and the direction for God. God wants you to live a holy life. God wants you to serve Him with all of your heart. An example of complete commitment. You see, he wasn't going to give in and just comply with what Pharaoh wanted. He was going to do what God wanted him to do. Complete commitment is obeying all that God wants us to do. You know that verse of scripture right there behind me, Acts chapter 2 and verse number 38. It is the gateway, if you will, into the kingdom of God. The first part says, repent. Oh, I've asked God to forgive me of my sins. There are people in our world that think that's enough. Oh, I asked God to forgive me, and He did. God saved me. You know what? God did forgive you if you repented. But it doesn't stop there. That's not enough. That didn't follow the direction of God. Following part or a portion or a little bit of what God wants you to do is not complete commitment. Repent and. Somebody say and. And be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. It's a part of our walk with God. It's an important, essential part that we would repent and that we would be baptized. And then it goes on. It doesn't stop there either. That's not enough all by itself. It says, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The next verse says, and the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. God's not changing His mind. Amen. The Word of God is the Word of God. It was written then for right now. It's applicable today. It's applied right now. We got to go all the way. Don't stop with just entering the kingdom. You got to walk this way. You got to talk this way. You got to live like God wants you to live. You see, we've got to refuse the compromise with the world. The world wants you to compromise. The world, it's okay if you do a little bit. Oh yeah, you can believe. But no, God wants us to be committed unto Him. Amen. Exodus chapter 10, let me continue in this Old Testament example. Beginning at verse number 8, and Moses and Aaron were brought again unto Pharaoh, and he said unto them, go serve the Lord your God. But who are they that shall go? Who are you going to bring with you? Who am I going to bring with me? What kind of question is that? I want my whole family to be saved. I want my children, I want my wife, I want my friends, I want everybody that is about me to be saved. Right. But who are they that shall go? Verse 9, and Moses said, we will go with our young and with our old. Don't leave the old folks behind, please. And with our sons and with our daughters, with our flocks and with our herds, we will go. For we must hold a feast unto the Lord. And he said unto them, let the Lord be so with you, as I will let you go, and your little ones, for to it, for evil is before you. Not so. Go now, ye that are men. Pause right there for a moment. Would it be okay if just dad went to church? If you left mom at home? If you left junior at home? If you left your precious little girl at home? Would that be okay? No way. No way. Not so, Pharaoh's trying to tell him. No, ye that are men, you can go and serve the Lord, for that ye did desire. And they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. You see, if Moses had agreed to leave his loved ones behind, how long do you think they would have been out there? Man, I got to go back and get my wife. I got to go back and get my children. We would have been drawn by the love for our family back to get them out of that place of bondage. I don't want my children. I don't want my family. I don't want my loved ones to live in bondage. I want them to be set free. I want them to be delivered. I want them to be saved. Praise the Lord. You see, where your treasure is, if you left your loved ones behind, you would come right back into bondage to try to get them out. You see, they are the most precious treasure that you have in all of your life. It's not your money. It's not your bank account. It's not your 401k. It's not your pension plan. It's not what you get from your employer. Matthew chapter 6, verse 21. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You see, we have to submit all of our ambitions, all of our possessions, everything that I am and everything that I hope to be, all that I am has to be in the Lord. Everything about me needs to be about God. Amen. There shall not be an hoof left behind. I don't want anything in my life to be tied up in the world. Amen. I don't want anything in my life to be a holden to sin. Amen. Total commitment. You see, the reason is we do not know what God will require. He said, I'm bringing everything. I'm bringing everyone. I'm bringing my family, my children. We're bringing the young. We're bringing the old. We're bringing our sheep. We're bringing our herds. We're bringing our possessions. We're bringing everything. You know what? God wants everything that you are to serve Him. Amen. Everything in your life can serve the Lord. Amen. The result here, not only did Israel win their freedom, but they received the wealth of the Egyptians prior to them leaving to serve the Lord. God gave them favor beyond their wildest imagination. You know, if you're a new little struggling church, God can give you a building. God can do miracles beyond our own control. Amen. Exodus chapter 11, verses 2 and 3. Speak now in the ears of the people, and let every man borrow of his neighbor, and every woman of her neighbor, jewels of silver and jewels of gold. Verse number 13. I'll tell you what, God can change it to good. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Can I borrow those jewels? You can have them. I can imagine them throwing them out the door. Now get out of here! Take them and go! You know, God, when they left Egypt, they no longer were poor slaves. But they were the chosen by God. And they left with their young and their old, their flocks and their herds, their possessions and their goods, and the riches, the silver and the gold that was in the land. God gave them riches beyond their own imagination. God delivered them with a mighty hand. I tell you what, God wants to do the same in our lives. God wants to give you a life beyond what you ever thought was possible. God wants to bless you in a way that you didn't even dream of, that you didn't even think of. God wants to bless you beyond what you thought was possible. Now, there's negative too. And I've got to hurry here. Judges chapter 16. Samson is an example that I'd like to use also. Verse number 1 and verse number 4, it says, Then went Samson to Gaza, and he saw there an harlot, and went in unto her. Okay, that's bad, by the way. He was a chosen vessel by God, and he was messing up. Verse number 4, and it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Socor, whose name was Delilah. She was not of God's chosen people. Samson, from his birth, was blessed. Judges 13, verse 5, For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head. Talking about Samson, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. From his birth, from being a child, he was born for a purpose of God. But Samson was messing around. He was chosen, anointed. He was used of God. But Samson was headed into trouble. There were progressive steps toward his compromise. 7 bowstrings, Judges chapter 16. You see, he didn't tell the whole secret. He didn't reveal everything. But he is willing to entertain temptation, thinking that he was too strong for the enemy to overcome. Judges 16, verse 17, And Samson said unto her, If they bind me with 7 green withs that were never dried, then shall I be weak and be as another man. You see, he was anointed by God with superhuman strength. He was able to overcome the enemy with the strength that God gave him. And he wasn't afraid of the enemy. And he was toying with temptation. Verse 11. And he said unto her, If they bind me fast with new ropes that never were occupied, then shall I be weak and as another man. Didn't it occur to you that when you told Delilah about the 7 green withs and then the enemy came against you, that something was bad, wrong. He freed himself. He got rid of the enemy. He took care of them. He had the blessing of God in his life. And he went and did it again. Judges 7, or 16, verse 7, verse 11, the first time, the second time, the third time, verse 13, just two verses later, seven woven locks of hair. Now, his hair was not to be cut. It was a commitment made before God. And now he's toying really close to his commitment with God. Verse 13, and Delilah said to Samson, hitherto thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound. Sometimes we are so blockheaded that we just don't even see what's going on. This world wants you to live in sin. This world wants you to do the ungodly. He wants you to be consumed with things of the world. Can't you see that Satan is attacking you? It's the enemy of your soul. Can't you see what's going on? Verse 17. See, he talks to her about cutting his hair. In verse 17, that he told her all his heart and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall be weak and be like any other man. You see, I am a born again, apostolic, one God, Jesus' name believing Christian that wants to live for God. There is no part of me that the world has. There's nothing that the world can do to deter me. I must be committed unto God. I have to serve the Lord with all of my heart. There is nothing that can stand between me and Him. Nothing in this world can deter me. Nothing. We've got to determine. You've got to have a made up mind. He told her all of his heart. But to Samson, he was spiritually blind. He wasn't even looking with his spiritual eyes. Verse number 18 down to 21. I'm getting ready to wrap this up. He was spiritually blind. And that spiritual blindness led him to defeat. If you don't see what the world is doing, if you don't see what things in this world, if you get addicted to the things on your phone or in your TV or on your internet or in your home or in the world, it will draw you away from God. If you cannot see that, you are spiritually blind and it will draw you away from God. Verse number 18, Judges chapter 16. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he hath showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. And she said unto him, and she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for the man, and she caused him to shave off the seven locks of his head. They cut his hair. And she, did you get that? She began to afflict him. What you think is good in the world, it's going to afflict you. It's going to come against you. It's going to hurt you. And his strength went from him. And she said, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." He awoke out of his sleep and said, "I will go out as at other times before, and I will shake myself." Get this now. This is scary right here. "And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him." Man, it is really a scary thing to think that I could wake up one day and be living in the world and think I'm okay. If you are living in sin, you are not okay. If you are tangled up with the world, it is not okay. He didn't even know that the presence of the Lord had departed from him. He did not recognize that God was no longer with him. Verse 21, "But the Philistines took him, put out his eyes, and brought him down to Gaza, and brought him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison mill." Musicians, would you come? Would you stand with me right now? I tell you that we got to have a made up mind. We cannot toy with the things of the world. We cannot live in the life of sin. We cannot be taken by the things of this world and still be successful in living for God. God wants to call us out. God wants to lift us up. God wants to see us successful in living for Him. Amen. I tell you, we cannot do this on our own. We must have the presence and the power of a righteous God to help us to be saved. Amen. I've got to obey that portion of Scripture. I've got to repent. I've got to be baptized. I've got to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And I have to live a righteous life before Him. God has called us out of darkness and sin into His marvelous light. I invite you, would you lift your hands with me?